right, so today I'm joined by John Garcia, formerly of Caius Lives, now Vista Chino. So thank you for taking the time to speak with me. So obviously you guys changed your name. Do you feel this will have a more positive impact on the band overall? Do you feel like you're starting over, or this is just, you know, the next level?
Well, I think it's just a relief. Trying to record a record, and there were a lot of fires we were trying to put out, and one of the fires was this legal battle. But I'm just glad that it's over, finished, done, gone out, and we can get back to what we originally started to do, which is making music, playing Caius tunes, going off on the future of mine and Brent and Bruno's musical trip. And you know, it's something that's been a long time coming, that I've welcomed with both arms, and it's just a nice, clean, fresh fucking start,
right?
Which is exactly what this band needs.
Right.
No problems, no hassles, just leave us the fuck alone and let us rock. That's all we really want to
right.
do.
Exactly.
And so the record's done. You know, it's done, it's mastered, it's mixed. We have a release date of fall, early September. So, and we're going to be gone, you know, starting, you know, July, we're going to be gone up until Christmas Eve. And then January, we're going to do it all over again.
Wow.
So it's...
So full on.
I'm trying to spend as much time as I can with my two kids and my wife as humanly possible this summer. And,
right.
And, you know, you have to have a... You gotta have a rock, you know, and my family's my rock, and so I'm just stoked and appreciative that I'm here talking to a complete total stranger about the future of Vista Chino and my life. So it's not something that goes unappreciated or obviously unnoticed. It's something that I really appreciate, and I don't take for granted. I love being on stage with Mike Dean from Corrosion of Conformity playing bass. That's fucking amazing to me.
Right.
So I love being on the stage with Brent Bjork and, you know, from Fu Manchu, and Caius, my old bandmate, and Bruno Fiebre, you know, and I'm a lucky guy. So I appreciate it.
So what does Vista Chino stand for? Like, what does it mean?
Well, we're from the desert, you know, and the name Vista Chino resonates with us. There's the true meaning behind the word Vista, and the true meaning behind Chino. But Vista Chino means so much more than just what the Webster's Dictionary says. It's where we're from. It's the desert, that's where Brent and I are from. I still live there. The record was recorded up in Joshua Tree at Brent's studio. I literally live in a small town where there's 1,500 people, and I have no neighbors. My neighbors are the rattlesnakes that I have to get the hell out of my property,
right,
so my kids can play on their swing set. Those are my neighbors, literally. It resonates with us. It's home. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. It's where we're from. And when you go into Palm Springs, or when you go into Cathedral City, or Rancho Mirage, or Palm Desert, or Indio, or Coachella, or Indian Wells, or Bermuda Dunes, or Morongo Valley, chances are you're going to come across Vista Chino. Vista Chino's a street there.
Gotcha.
And again, it resonates with us. It's where we're from, and hence the name Vista Chino.
That's
sorry
awesome.
For the long-winded answer.
That's good. So you recently signed with Napalm Records. How did that come about?
We met with a lot of labels, and Napalm is known for a lot of heavy music, and they've kind of reached out on a different arm and signed bands like Monster Magnet and Karma to Burn and Vista Chino, you know, and they wanted to kind of go off on a little bit of a different trip. And, you know, the deal made perfect sense. We, you know, there was a lot of talk with a lot of different labels. But, you know, we wanted somebody with equal amount of enthusiasm. And they showed that. And a lot more. And, because... I mean, it's fun and fortunate that I'm be able to perform, but it's also a business, and we've got to look at that too.
Right.
And so that was part of it as well, and we made the choice to go with them. So the relationship is going fantastic, and I anticipate it to continue to go fantastic until we fulfilled, you know, our obligations, and they fulfilled their obligations, and I'm stoked to be a part of it.
Well, cool. So the other day, you guys announced the actual album title for the new record, which is Peace, exactly, and also the artwork. So is there a meaning behind the title? Does the artwork go, you know, coincide with the title, or are they two different ideas that were just put together?
Well, the Date Farmers are where we're from. They're, you know, pretty much born and raised. And that resonates with us because we're desert folk. You know, we're desert dwellers. We're a certain breed, you know? So, the Date Farmers, that artwork is very appropriate for the desert, and it's very appropriate for this band, and it made perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Peace is, you know, funny. This is the first time that somebody's asked me what's the meaning behind the name Peace, because it could be exactly what it means. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you know. Yeah, that's all we want, man. That's all we want. That's all I want, you know. And peace is. It's not where we've been that I'm thinking about. It's where I'm going that I'm thinking about. And it's where I'm going to take my kids fishing this summer is what I'm thinking about. That's Peace. I'm a family man. Brent's a family man. And there's a lot of inner peace that we get by debating, am I going to use a worm for this bait, Marshall and Madison, or am I going to use something else?
Right.
Am I going to use this grasshopper or cricket? And that's that. But and so it's that, and it's me standing right next to Brent Bjork when he's playing drums with his Quicksilver shorts on and his bandana, and I get a lot of peace from that too. So it's from bait, debate, to being on stage with Brent Bjork, and to me, it's all encapsulated. Sorry for the long drawn out.
No,
there.
It's awesome.
Have
you always been in like this thought process, or is it something that came to you recently? You know, because you know how some people, something happens to them, and then they get a new perspective on life. Or, I mean, you just seem like you're very down to earth. You know what you want.
Well, I just recently stopped changing diapers. You know what I mean? So if anybody thinks that I've got some, you know, I wake up in the morning and do a bong load and then go trip out, you know, and in the desert and, you know, and hang out with everybody from the desert and, you know, and dance around the fire and strum guitars, that's the farthest thing. I've never done that. But I think that, you know, having kids has settled me down. I think the demise of not Caius Liz, but the demise of Caius kind of began this a whole nother thought. friends are really quick,
right.
real quick. And, you know, I had a lot of it is family. And I think either you have it in you where either it clicks or it doesn't click. Either you have it into you to be a good father and a good husband, or you don't have it in you. And some guys it clicks and some guys it doesn't click, or something bad happens and then the switch comes on. I'm a passionate person who loves music, who loves his kids and loves his wife, and appreciative factor is huge for me. And you know, I mean, face it, fuck, I'm 42 years old. To be doing it at my age, I'm pretty fucking lucky. I mean, I can go back in and work on animals and practice, you know, veterinary medicine, you know, anytime I want to.
Right.
I can do that because I love that too. But it's a blessing with my wife and family that I'm able to do this. And you need a pretty damn strong woman to have your man be in this environment. You know, I mean, that's heavy duty. And Wendy's at home watching Marshall right now. And when, you know, when Daddy's over here hanging out with his buddies and playing rock and roll. So Wendy gets it. She's cool. And I'm very stoked. I'm lucky to have a good woman like that. So it's, you know,
very cool.
It's a good thing.
So I want to go back to the artwork for a second, because you mentioned it was by the Date Farmers. How did you find out about them, and then did you just say, do whatever you want? Did you give them a concept idea, or?
Brent introduced me to the Date Farmers, and he had a book by them, and they're great artists, and after seeing some of their artwork, it was very appropriate, and again, it resonated with me, that artwork, because it's very, it's part of that local culture, that type of artwork, and it made perfect sense. But as far as direction, I gave him a picture that I wanted it to be, you know, wanted to be incorporated. And it's an old photo of a 1930s jalopy going down I-10, and there was a fork in the road, one going to Palm Springs and one going to Indio, and that's the only thing that I contributed to the artwork. Other than that, it was 100% them. There's photos of us in Joshua Tree when we were recording the record that we took, because we wanted to do a little bit of documentation. So we put some photos of the band on the back of it. But other than that, it was 100% them.
Now, is the original a painting, or was it done on the computer?
I believe that 99.99% of it was all hand.
Oh.
All hand-drawn.
Oh, hand-drawn. Okay.
Hand-drawn.
That's amazing.
Yeah. They're old school. I don't do any of that fucking computer-generated.
I didn't think so, but
right.
Going in there anyway.
Right.
Right, so the first single is Dargona Dragona.
Right.
That's an interesting name. I'm going to ask you.
Well, hey, you know, it's interesting how that name came up, because there's a lot of working titles, and working titles have their own minds sometimes and how people perceive them, especially engineers. And this gentleman by the name of Harper Hug, who engineered and mixed the record, started calling it a different name, and it kind of morphed into Dargona, Dragona, Dragona, Dargona. And so eventually, you know, I think it was, we tried to name it something else, but it just kept on going back to that,
right,
that fucking weird name. So they morph into all kinds of different stuff. And, you know, from As You Wish to Sweet Remain to Sunlight at Midnight to Adara, they're all direct products of what we were feeling at the time in JT, I think.
All right, so I've only heard the one single, obviously, but is the new material along the same lines, or, you know, is it a variety of different things, and is it different from what you've done in the past?
I think that there's when you have the drummer for Caius and the singer for Caius, I think there's going to be some automatic similarities there. And to me, there are. The flip side to that coin is that Vistachino is a different band than Caius. And we've done a lot of growing. And there's a lot of different avenues and a lot of different, a lot of different tangents that we went on this record. And I was curious in regards to what it was going to sound like myself. But it wrote itself, and peace is what came out of it. And so there's all kinds of different trips. There's a 12-minute song in there.
Oh, wow.
And there's a 3-minute song in there, and everything in between. So
now, did you have any outside influences, or did you already have something in mind when you sat down to start writing?
I listened to an oldie station back at home. I still listen to radio, believe it or not.
I do too.
So there's an oldie station that I listen to, and they play anything from Earth, Wind & Fire to the Ohio Players to Johnny Taylor. And so I'm constantly influenced by R&B, and I'm influenced by Brent Bjork. I'm influenced by Bruno Fever. I'm influenced by Nick Oliveri. So when they present something to me and an idea, I've got to make it my own. And that type of shit kind of writes itself, and it sells itself to me. So I'm influenced by my surroundings and by my band members and by that fucking radio station that I listen to all the time. And, I love it. I still listen to radio when I'm out there raking and cleaning my creosote and pulling up cactus and shit. And I almost got bit by a rattlesnake the other day. Literally, I almost raked a rattlesnake towards me. I've got the radio station playing on, and I got my oldie station going.
What was the song playing? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I think I remember going inside and telling Wendy, I said, don't let Sky go outside. Sky's her dog. I said, don't let Sky go outside and keep Marshall inside. She goes, why? You find another rattlesnake? I said, of course I found another rattlesnake. So, of course, they all had to come outside and see it. And I don't like killing them. I don't. But there was no way around it. I'm a veterinary medicine person, so I don't like doing that. But this one was
a
little too close to home, and it got a little too burly. So, anyway.
That's okay. Are they fairly large where you live, or they range in size?
They range about 3 feet. The last big one I saw was probably about 5 feet. And I didn't mess with that one. I had a couple cocktails, and cocktails and rattlesnake don't fucking mix. So I just let that one be. Cocktails. Some guys would be like, "Yeah, look at it. Let me pet this fucking." I've been out there for my entire life. So I know what mix and don't mix.
Right. Alright, so at Orion's, your first performance is Vistachino. Are you nervous or excited? And what can fans expect from your set in general, whether today or
in
the future?
I'm nervous. Yeah. I'm nervous, but it's good. I'd be nervous if I wasn't nervous, Like, alright, time to hang it up. But no, you expect to hear some Kaya songs. We're going to play We're gonna play a lot of Caius, and we're gonna give people a little taste of a live Dragona, and when the record comes out, we're gonna give them a little bit more, so we don't want to expose too much just yet. So it's very fitting that Vistachino played with our Caius Lives. Our last show was with Metallica in Perth, Australia, And our very first show was with Metallica in Detroit.
That's kind of awesome.
It's fucking way awesome. I'm stoked. Are you kidding me? So it's a good feeling. And again, I'm appreciative to be here. You know what I mean? I'm very stoked and very happy.
All right, so one final question. And it's a random question. So here at Araya, Metallica have their own lifestyle attractions. If you could create your own festival, what would your lifestyle attraction be?
Well, I'd have my wish list, you know. I'd have, you know, of course, the Doors be there, and Earth, Wind, and Fire be there, and, you know, I'd have, you know, the Cult be there, and, you know, so, my range is you know, from the Misfits to Earth, Wind, and Fire, and everywhere in between.
Right.
So, I you know, that's the type of festival I would have.
But what about a personal, like, James has a car show here, Lars has a movie tent, Kirk has his horror collection.
Right, that you kind of curate. Their,
right.
Right. You know, it's got to be something to do with animals, man.
Yeah.
It'd have to be something in the veterinary field. It'd be, you know, a bunch of different poisonous, venomous desert snakes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe a camel or two. You know, but it'd definitely be a desert animal orientated theme for sure.
All right, well, cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me,
sure.
And best of luck.
Welcome, thanks.
With everything.
Okay, good stuff.